Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast people, BS3 people, Stars fans, sit back, relax, enjoy the show, because here in just a minute we'll be joined by my buddy and co-host Kay Fitz to talk a little bit of this next game and what it's going to take for the Stars to survive into the next round. Enjoy the show.
Hey, how we doing? How we doing? I may only be here for a limited time, but I'll be here for as long as I can be.
Hey, I mean, if we can go close to an hour, that's good. Like 30 minutes is fine, you know?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we can just go. Wow.
There you go.
How are you, man?
Been better. As you know, I've got some personal things going on, and then, of course, the Stars lost the other night. But this has kind of been their trend, so I'm not in panic mode yet. You know, they did the same thing against Minnesota, so I'm not in panic mode quite yet. Now, if they lose tonight, I might be a little bit panicked.
If they lose tonight, they'll be down 3-1, and they'll be on the edge of elimination.
Oh, yeah. And Seattle's just too good of a team.
My gosh, dude, they have outhit us every game.
You know, and what's funny is Dallas, you know, when you look at Dallas and Seattle, you don't see two hugely physical teams, to be honest with you. You know, you posed a question to me about whether I thought the Minnesota series might have taken a lot of the steam out of the Dallas Stars with as physical as it was. And, you know, honest and truly coming into this, I didn't think that was going to be too big of an issue because, like I said, Seattle and Dallas, neither one of them are, you know, when you think of physical teams, you don't think of this, you don't think of the Stars or Seattle. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's so much the physical play. I think it's the speed of Seattle that's really given the Stars the hardest time. You know, that speed. They are a very fast team, and you know, it's kind of like in the last game, you know, for the first 10 minutes of the game, Dallas looked like the same team that they were in game two, and I thought, okay, this is going to be all right. We're holding our own. We're you know, keeping it out of our own zone. We're forcing it into their zone. We're staying offensive. And then I don't know what happened. It's like a light switch either went on for Seattle or went off for Dallas. And right after that, right at that 10-minute mark, it just kind of – Seattle took over the game. And then from the second period on, it was pretty much all Seattle.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm afraid of because, you know, Seattle comes in hitting too. They're not just faster than Dallas.
No, they are. Then that's what I'm saying. It was unexpected. They are a very physical team. But while yes, the physicality I think is an issue, I don't think it's as much of an issue for the Stars as the speed is. It just seems like they're out skating the Stars and they're just not able to keep up the speed of it. And Ottinger, for one, is definitely having a hard time keeping up with the speed of this team.
That transition was smooth as silk because I was about to say as well, To couple your point about the speed, you know, I think we need to get a little bigger and a little bit more hard nosed.
Oh, I agree. We do.
But go ahead.
That's something that we've been discussing this whole season, is that one of the key elements we think that this Stars team is missing is that physicality. I mean, you know, you just don't have it. You don't have that hatcher of the past, or, you know, or that style of player. You know, yeah, you have flashes of it here or there, but it's just not, it's not in a dominating fashion like it was with the teams of the 90s and the early 2000s.
Oh, shoot. Hey, Ryan Reeves wants to enter the chat here because he is that guy.
Okay.
So is Matt Dumba, man. They single-handedly both annihilated Dallas.
Right.
Like, and we just, I don't know, man. I'm scared about it because, like you said, the speed's going to get them. Dallas, in my estimation, with even Miro Heiskanen possibly hurt tonight, haven't seen anything on him.
Last I heard, he was kind of minute to minute, game to game type decision.
Oh, okay. So we may not know until right before puck drop.
We might not.
Yeah, it's probably wise to keep that hush hush. We discussed that before too with
Pavel. Yes, we did. That, you know, any strategy you can get, any advantage you can get.
What are the Stars going to have to do, though? Because it seems like the moment one of the guys is hurt, they're like a what is it called? An anthill without a queen.
Yeah.
What are they going to have to do, man? Like, they're not physical enough. They definitely aren't fast enough. And hanging on for dear life is not going to last that long.
No, it's not. And like you said, what they're going to have to do is they're just going to have to come out and play more physical. They're going to have to play smash mouth, you know, take the chances. You know, it's great when you're down 5-6-2, 7-2, and you all of a sudden want to play physical and you're getting tossed out on, you know, on fouls and whatnot. But, you know, that's a little too late. And, you know, that's not what you should be doing. Yeah, I understand the frustrations and all getting out, but you know, it's they're just gonna have to get physical. You know, the players that are physical or are capable of being physical are gonna have to step up. You know, this is gonna be a time where Domi can actually step in and kind of be a little bit more physical and have the speed to match the Kraken. I mean, in all honesty, if there's a team that we brought Max Domi in to suppress and kind of have a tit for tat, it is Seattle. And, you know, this is kind of be a time where Domi's going to have to step up and not that he hasn't been, but he's going to need to step up a little bit more and kind of get things done.
Kind of makes you wonder why he hasn't already, because, okay, for the wrestling fans out here, maybe I'm totally off base, but this is kind of like an Andre the Giant or Undertaker type battle with a Rey Mysterio. You know, Domi, all he has to do is reach a hand out there, and he can easily stop somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we know what he can do. So what's it going to take? And for Jamie Benn, what's it going to take for El Capitan to rough somebody up in the right way, by the way?
And I still feel like we haven't seen Robertson yet. We have flashes, but we haven't seen that Jason Robertson we've seen in the regular season. And I don't know if that's just because these teams have been, you know, game planning against him or what, but, you know, there's something going on there.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the reasons why I posed the question to you earlier. Like, how do we know they have a lot more life in them? I see social media. Oh, it's just 2-1. Oh, we can even the series tonight. Yada, yada. Like, they're hanging on for dear life. How do you not see that?
Well, they are. And, you know, like I said, I feel like You know, even though the Kraken went seven games against the Avs, I think we had a more physical series against Minnesota, and it's starting to and it's starting to show. And I hate to say it, but you know, Ottinger, he's awesome. I personally probably wouldn't have played him the other night. I mean, you know, I would have put Wedgwood in, gave Ottinger a night off. Yeah, I understand you're trying to kind of win and maybe get ahead of the series, but you know, I think that would have been a night to kind of give him a night off and let him kind of rest up, and you know, win or lose, at least you know you're giving your top goaltender a full night's rest, getting ready for you know a pivotal game three or game four.
I can see your point because, you know, Wedgwood's in there. You don't know what kind of effort he's going to give. He may be Wedge Wall, or he may be Wedge Who. And, right. You know, giving Otter a little bit of rest would have, you know, put us in a position that we might be certain we could have a great game tonight.
Yeah, and I know there's some that might be listening that are like, well, they did put Wedgwood in. Well, yeah, they did in the third period. And when he did go in there, yeah, the momentum was already on Seattle's side. You know, the Stars were not playing the way that they should have been playing. And, you know, you're throwing Wedgwood to the Wolves. And, yeah, of course, you know, he first goal against him was a shorthanded goal. And, you know, but he's not even in there on, you know, in game speed at that point. You know, it's like, it's almost like taking, you know, your third string quarterback and throwing him in into the Super Bowl. You know, how good is that quarterback actually going to come? I mean, he's not, we're not talking about a Joe Montana or something like that. We're talking about somebody who probably hadn't played very much during the regular season, if at all. And you're throwing him in there against a very fast and momentum carrying Seattle team. That's why I feel like if they were going to, you know, they were going to pull Ottinger. They should have just went ahead and gave him the night to rest and went ahead and went with Wedgwood off the bat.
Yeah, because, you know, I imagine that plays into their confidence as well. You know, at least for young Jake, you know, he just lost a big game. What's his head going to be like going into tonight?
You know, and not only that, but, I mean, just go to game one. You know, I mean, Ottinger does have a good bounce back. He does. But from game one, losing, you know, three goals in 52 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then what happened the other night, I mean, yeah, of course, that's going to start weighing on your psyche. He wouldn't be human if it did.
Right. The man's got ice in his veins, too, and you know, he can steal a game, but a lot of that kind of goes to how the team's playing around him, too. And,
it is.
You know, that's one thing that I noticed the last game. It's like, where was the defense?
There wasn't much. Like I said, the first 10 minutes there was. The first 10 minutes, they were awesome. If they had played the rest of the game like they played that first 10 minutes, we wouldn't be talking the way we are right now. But you know, what happened was the second period started and they got a goal and then a second goal and it just took the wind out of the sails. And, you know, you could see the Kraken start to get a little bit more aggressive there after that first 10 minutes in the first period. But the Stars were still kind of holding it on and that's why it was 0-0 at the end of the first. But then all of a sudden the second happens and they not only score once, twice, but they wind up scoring five goals on you in one period, you know, it's a little demoralizing.
It is. And, you know, if you look at the stats, man, now it looks like the Stars might be the underdog, like, period. You know, Seattle has everything but the faceoff advantage, if you look at it. They've got the power play advantage, the penalty kill advantage. It's just like, oh boy, you know. That's a young and dare I say, reckless team in a positive way, though. But, you know, they're playing like they have nothing to lose. They're the new kids on block, and they're going to show you what they can do. And Dallas is just like, okay, we're going to hang for 10 minutes. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of the whole, you know, yeah, we want to come out, we want to set the pace, but then we're going to allow you to kind of take over and you set the pace now. And that's not the way it goes, you know. Once you set that pace, you need to maintain it, you know. Granted, the first game wound up 5-4, all thanks to Pavelski, but nobody else really did much in game one. And, of course, you know, game two we came back and we won that one 4-2. But, it really wasn't dominating style. I mean, it was great, but, you know, and then, of course, game three we just come out and we just lay a goose egg. It's just horrible. I mean, it's just I'm not sure why their formula seems to be, you know, win one, lose one, win two, or lose, win one, you know, lose one, lose one, win two. But they really need to kind of get out of that.
Thing too, something I noticed in looking at the games thus far, you know, the blowout, close game, blowout, close.
Mm-hmm.
It's back.
Yeah.
Very first game, overtime loss. Second game, I mean, I kind of consider in hockey a two goal game to be a little bit of a blowout, not too much. You know, it's not like 7-2 or whatever. Like, right. But it kind of smacks them around a little bit. So, you know, if you look at that, there was two blowouts, one for the Stars, 4-2, and then Kraken just pulled our pants down and spanked us. Like, what gives? Game four tonight. What are you going to get out of them?
Well, hopefully we get, you know, the team that played in game two and they come out with a win.
Shoot, I would take games one and two combined over what we got game three.
Yeah.
Like, what gives? I mean, you can feel the team out, sure. You know, that's fine. But you're three games in now, so you ought to know what's coming. And you ought to be able to like, it is the 7-2 game going to be what gives them life again? Or is that going to be Seattle putting their foot on our throat? I feel like it's going to be the foot on the throat.
Let's hope.
I don't know, man. Look at the stats. It's changed everything. The power play goes to the Kraken. Penalty, Kraken. Goals for and against go. What in the world?
Yeah, we definitely need to get our players that haven't been playing to start playing.
For sure. And let me ask you this, for the Stars, who's really to blame?
I'm not sure if it's just, well, I mean, it would have to fall to the coaching staff. So, all right, let's say that they are, let's just say that Robertson's out of his game because they are game planning against him. Well, that's where you need to counter game plan against that game plan. You need to be smart enough to say, okay, they're going to game plan against one of our best players, if not our best player. So this is what we need to do, and maybe change things up a little bit.
I think the only solution to that, and I'll say this until the day they put me into the ground, you got to put Pavelski back on that line.
Oh, I agree. Having him off that, I mean, he needs to be, he should have been on that line from the get-go. And I think I called that from the first game. I mean, yeah, I like the line that they put him on, but he needs to be back with Robertson. And you need to put those three back together.
That's a triple threat line right there. You double-team young Robertson there. You got Pavelski still.
Exactly, and both of them are scorers and can score from anywhere. Pavelski's proven it. He can score from anywhere.
Mm. People say he's a big tipper. That dude can do anything, though.
Look at game one. I think he proved it. He scored in almost every fashion.
He did.
I mean, breakaway, tip. I mean, he scored in almost every fashion.
I think they said that night. I think they said he scored in every possible goal you can.
Yeah, I mean, they're really wanting. I mean, he was a man on a mission, and I think after that should have showed the coaching staff that okay, he's good. So I game two, keep him with the same line, but by game three, I don't understand the thought process of not moving him back in there with Robertson and Hintz. And maybe they'll change that tonight. I doubt it, but maybe they will.
I mean, it's a Dallas team. That's where my heart is, and it pains me. I don't know if the stats are correct here, but it still has Rupe Hintz leading in points, goals, and assists.
Yeah, he is. He is.
That's crazy. Like,
and I think Pavelski's right behind him.
That brings to mind a question. Why are we right now only a one-player team? Well, I mean, depending on the game, it's either going to be Hintz or Pavelski.
That's what it seems like.
We're only a one-player team right now. What in the world is going on? DeBauer spoke a little bit about a next man up mentality. You know, about Mr. Haskinen being hurt. Man, I'm just not buying it because the scoring's not there.
No, really, it's not. And you know, Haskinen is, yeah, I hate to lose Haskinen, and I hope he's back out there. But in my honest opinion, I don't think he's as pivotal as when we lost Pavelski. Like I said, I don't want to take anything away from Haskinen, but I think Pavelski's a bigger weapon. But that being said, you still shouldn't let the loss of that one single player to tell me we didn't have Pavelski for the rest of the season for the rest of the series against Minnesota. So, you know, and we found a way. So the Stars really need to kind of look themselves in the mirror, figure out what's going on and find a way.
Do you think they have it in them?
I do. I think they have it in them. I've seen them do it before. I've seen them do it before. I mean, you know, it's kind of like at the beginning of the season, you know, how many times were they down in games? I mean, you know, 3-4 goals. And by the time, you know, I mean, there were times where I shut the game off and then next morning woke up and holy smokes, they won in overtime 6-5. What the heck happened there? You know, they were down 5-1. Good Lord. So they have it in them. They're just going to have to find that killer instinct. They have to find it. They have to find it, and they have to, you know, want to be able to do it and get it done. And unfortunately, the only ones that can do that is themselves. So there's no real answer. I mean, there's nothing that we can say as fans or observers and say, oh, well, this is what they need to do. They need to do this, and if they would just listen to me, all this. That's not it. It's, you know, they've got to stop getting in their own heads, for one. And they need to start playing a little bit more creative.
Whoa. Wow. Creatively. Mm-hmm. You know what's ironic about that? We were just talking about, in the last few episodes, how they need to stop looking for pretty passes.
Right. I'm not talking about pretty passing. I'm talking about just being creative, you know, creating plays.
I mean,
look at Dodonov, that pass that he got away. I can't remember which game it was in, but where he did kind of a little pirouette pass and we wound up scoring off of it. It was like, where in the world did that even come from? But that was just being creative. I don't think they need to be, I don't think, let's not be cutesy and pass and pass and pass, but we need to be a little bit more creative in our gameplay.
Yeah, can you imagine what the right, it is a dangle, you know, when they hold the stick out for the right shot. Can you imagine what the right dangle would be? Like, at the right time, you know, a good dangle into the net, just bam. Imagine what that can do to the game. Like, why haven't, where is this?
And I noticed in the last game, it seemed like a lot of shots were going to the chest pad. They need to stop trying to, you know, they need to find those angles because they're there. They are available. You know, stop trying to get the five hole. Stop trying to get the, you know, the easier shots. You know, try those angles a little bit more. Try to get that top corner of the net. You know, get over the blocker, get over the... What's that?
Well, the other night that was top shelf.
Yeah.
I believe. I think it was the first one they scored. It was top right corner, I want to say.
Oh, I want to say, yeah, the first one was top right corner because the second one went actually through the five hole, if I'm not mistaken.
So, from that estimation, instead of targeting one spot, just target them all, right?
Pretty much. And you know, once, yeah, and they really need to get their defense in order.
What were you going to say before that? You started saying once.
Oh, you know, and also, you know, work on, you know, getting those offensive rebounds as well. You know, I mean, when you know, you can't allow, just because the first shot doesn't go through, you can't allow the Kraken to get, you know, their sticks on the puck and clear the zone, you know, especially in those power play, you know, positions. When you're on the power play, you cannot let the team get a hold of the puck. The other night, the Stars were on power play, and for the first 35 seconds of the power play, the Kraken are in their own zone playing pass, give before they finally got it out of their zone, you know, and the Stars wound up getting it. You can't allow them to control the puck for 35 seconds of your power play.
That's kind of what I was thinking on the last show. It's just like, I said this out loud. I'm like, They play a lot like they're on the penalty kill when they're on the power play and the Stars.
Right. And that's exactly what it looked like. And I almost want to say that the commentators even made mention of that. You know, which team is on the power play? Which team is on the power play kill? Because it sure seemed like the Kraken were on the power play and the Stars were on the kill. But here the Stars were up 5-4 players. You know, I mean, it's just like, what in the world?
Yeah, and you know, that may not totally be on the players either. You said something about coaching a little bit ago. Our assistant coach, I believe, that does the power play is also one of the worst reputations, about like Rick Bonus did for the Stars. You know, before that, he you could tell it that way. And right. You know, here, coaching the Stars, penalty kill and special teams, and it's like, can the boys go rogue maybe and just go into business for themselves? See that, like, okay, if it's not working, use your head. It's probably right in front of your eyes. If we can see it on TV, you know what gives,
right?
That baffles me too. Like, we can see it watching the TV. We can see it in the arena. And the Stars just kind of do their own thing. It's like it's like an EA video game. Ooh.
And you know what's really scary is, I hate to say it, but I pointed it out the other night. It seems like we're not the only team that's playing this way, though, right now. The Golden Knights are even kind of pulling us Stars like the other night.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
I mean, they really are. I mean, you know, dominate one game and lose the next. It's like, what in the world? Are all the stars? Are we interchanging players and plays or something? Or what in the world's going on here?
Here's the funny thing about Seattle, too, dude. Hackstall, I think is his name, the coach. He was a Stars coach at one point. System. I believe he coached for the Texas Stars down there.
Wow. So he's kind of probably already familiar with a lot of our system traits.
I mean, at some point when you have free time, you might want to look that up.
Yeah.
And a possibility of the ex over there anyway, and he was an ex-star. So you got, you know, intel on that. They're using Dallas's own strengths against them. And yeah, I will go on out on a limb and say that. It's just like, and that's, I don't know. I don't feel like in much longer. I feel like they're going to be golfing after Friday.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Because Seattle's too fast. We can't keep up. Seattle's too fast. We can't hit them. It's just like, they can skate circles around Dallas, and Dallas is helpless.
I still think there's a lot of fight in this Dallas team. Tonight's going to be kind of the telltale.
What needs to happen to change the outlook of this series for you?
Yeah, Dallas needs to effectively work on their defense. They need to maintain the aggression, play the whole game the same way, not just the first 10 minutes. You know, if you recall, like during the season, you know, the Stars were kind of a slow start team. You know, we weren't very good in the first period, but come the second and third period, we were dominating, and we were, like, I want to say, in the top five, if not the top team, in the first and second period a lot of this past season. And I feel like they've kind of lost a little bit of that. And, you know, I think they need to maybe get back to playing that way. But instead of it just being a second and third period team, they need to play that same way the first, second, and third period. And also, you know, stop giving up these fast goals, these, you know, goals in bunches. You know, it seems like you blink an eye and they're up by two, and it's like, where did that happen? So that plays into your defense, and you know, especially off of, you know, you want to win every face-off, but when you don't win that face-off, you want to make sure you have defenders in place to defend against any kind of a quick, you know, quick goal shot. And it appears like, you know, that's kind of one of the things that Kraken's been able to get away with. And Ottinger, as good as he is, doesn't matter who you are in the net, those are hard to defend against, especially when you don't have a team that's helping you defend it.
For sure. Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know if they can defend against it, you know, and with Miro being out, maybe. They're going to have to find that next man up. Hanley or Harley, I believe somebody said on social media, Facebook to be exact, that Hanley was one that made some noise. What changes in the defense could make some noise in your eyes? Who do you think could change things up for the Stars on the back end?
I'm actually trying to think on that one.
Like, do you keep the lines as is and just plug somebody in for Miro, or do you shuffle it all the way up? is a better question for you. Maybe it...
I'll be honest with you, at this point, I don't think you shuffle it all the way up because you don't want to cause that much disruption. I'm trying to even think of where you shuffle. I think you shuffle by putting Pavelski back with Robertson and Hintz. I think that right there is one of them. You're going to have to do something if Miro is not able to play. So, yeah, you're going to definitely have to throw somebody in there. Who that's going to be, I'm trying to look and see what lines can be moved around.
I mean, if you think about it, you know, you said Pavelski might be a little bit more of a difference maker, but in a way, I'll get brave and I'll say Miro Heiskanen is kind of the Joe Pavelski of the defense.
He is. He would be considered that, but, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, Miller's been kind of coming into his own here lately. He's been kind of throwing his weight around, even though he got a penalty in the last game for it, cross-checking. He kind of got a little too aggressive. But could you maybe move him into that line? Possibly?
I don't know. And the reason I ask you is because I saw that on social media as well. They said bench Miller.
Yeah.
In favor of Hanley or Harley. And then put the other one in for Heiskanen. It's just like, no. I mean, you're missing one piece, and that one piece is, I mean, it's kind of the glue of the defense, if you ask me. And, you know, you add in another one being benched for no reason. Like, what if all you have to do is just limit the penalties and play the puck instead of, well, I guess that's what they do. Maybe they
should. Well, you know, you really can't hold the penalty against Miller against him the other night. It was a penalty out of frustration. Purely out of frustration. And, you know, it's one of those where, you know, at that point in time, yeah, the spotlight was on them. So, yeah, it's going to get called. But how many times is that call not called? You know, how many times, you know, was he cross-checked before he finally just kind of got fed up with it? You know, he's fighting for the puck, and, you know, the Kraken players kind of got position on him, and he just kind of extended his arms. And anytime you extend your arms out like that, that's going to get called for cross-checking, or usually. I can't say any time because I have a feeling that if you give some stars, it's going to be a blind eye goal. Oh, wait. Was that? No, that wasn't cross-checking. No, he wasn't fully extended. He wasn't fully extended, you know.
Foot position. Oh, wait. No, he wasn't fully extended. Oh, wait. No, the puck was over there. Yeah, I can... It bugs me because this team... Here's the thing. I'm circling back around the physicality because I've seen people say that this team is a dirty team from top to bottom. Now, the second series of seeing that, and they're not a team that's dirty. They're a fast team, but they're trying to keep up.
Right.
And, you know, how can you say that a team is dirty when they're just fighting for their life? Something in this team is lacking. I mean, obviously it's consistency. We've said that for how many games now?
Oh, the whole season, I think.
Shoot, I was saying that in the preseason. Like, I'm going to be looking for consistency.
Yeah, like, the whole season, the Stars have just not been consistent through the whole season. You have flashes of greatness. You have games where it's like, man, this is like they're the best team in the league. There's no one that can stand up to them. And then you got games where it's like, are they even in the same league or is this a junior league team? I mean, is this did Dallas get a college? The Dallas Stars a college team now or what?
Yeah, let me get your thoughts on this too, because I swear I heard the announcers the other night kind of insinuate that the Stars were playing like a beer league team.
Yeah. Well, no, they weren't saying that they were playing like a beer league. So what had happened was so many Stars players were kicked off the ice and kicked out of the game because of, you know, major penalties and whatnot. And so there were minimum players on the sideline, on the Dallas bench. And so they were saying it looked like a beer league because there weren't very many players out there.
Oh, okay. I kind of took it as an insult to the Stars.
No. I got exactly what they were talking about. It was right after, you know, I think we had three players that were thrown out of the game.
Three? That's it?
I think three or four, something like that. I'm not sure. We had quite a bit. It got ugly. I stopped paying attention, to be honest with you. I was listening to the announcer, but I really wasn't paying attention to the game at that point.
Why do I get this gut feeling that Marchment was probably one of them?
I think he was. I want to say Ben was. Hawk and Paul, I think, was one of them.
Yeah, there's your
Domi, I think Domi was in there as well. I'd have to go back and look at the stats. But yeah, they it was bad. The frustrations were definitely showing at that point. And they just figured we ain't got nothing to lose, so we're just going to go. And we're just going to turn into a bunch of goons and just go out there and goon it up.
You know, I mean, that's, in my eyes, that's kind of like channeling, huh?
You know, it's kind of like the announcers were saying, you know, you've got a 7-game series if it goes to 7 games. You know, if you have an opportunity to take somebody out, you know, hey. I'm not for that type of play. I feel like that's what Minnesota tried to do against Pavelski and did successfully against him in game one when we played against Minnesota. But if, hey, accidents happen, you know. Oops. Darn, how'd that happen? You know. luckily none of that happened the other night, and everybody did kind of get out unscathed and no major injuries or anything like that. So
what if that's the key though? Like, when we lost Pavelski, they played a little angrier.
They did, but it was a different, you know, Pavelski was lost because of a piss poor play, bad hit. You know, we lost Miro just because of an unlucky strike of a puck, you know. I mean, those things are gonna happen. I mean, it wasn't,
yeah.
Like, you know, it wasn't like he was, it wasn't an egregious hit against him. Like,
right.
So I don't know that that's going to have the same impact. It'd be nice if it did. I think that's one thing that Seattle, they're being aggressive, but they're not being that overly aggressive. And they're definitely not wanting to take anybody out. Because I think, like I said, you know, before, that if they came out aggressive in game two, and I think when we were talking from game one to game two, that you felt like they were going to come out even more aggressive. And I told you that I felt like that would be a hindrance to them. And that if they did do something like that and hurt somebody, it would wind up coming back to bite them. And they wound up, you know, the Stars won that game. But, you know, at least they were smart enough not to come out and try to injure anybody and put any blood in the water and cause the Stars to really want to come after you, kind of like they did against Minnesota. The Stars wanted to beat Minnesota. You just don't have that feeling that they want to beat Seattle right now.
Right. And that's the thing for me. Like, I'm not saying they need to come out and target one person's head. But, you know, it's something I've said all season long. Why not play like it's your ice?
Yeah.
They're not doing that.
You know, and here's what's funny about both these teams, both Seattle and Dallas, and they were talking about it the other night. Neither one of them was great at home this regular season. Both of them were much better on the road. So you've got two good road teams, And it just seems like Seattle's just having better success at home than Dallas is right now.
That's ironic as all get out. Because even, well, Dallas is supposed to be the better road team.
Yeah, they are.
See the irony there?
Oh, I do.
It's like, wait, what? Shouldn't this be a stalemate? Shouldn't this go into overtime? Nope. They're going to cut your butt off and hand it to you. Yeah. Big game tonight, though, dude. And
yeah,
it's pivotal.
Huge game. And unfortunately, I'm fixing to have to get running. I've got a personal item I've got to take care of here in a few minutes. But I'm going to kind of leave this with my prediction. I think the Stars bounce back tonight. I think it's another 4-2 game, 5-3, 4-2, something like that.
How do you come up with that off of a 7-2 beating?
Just based off of their track record.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going based on anything other than this is kind of the trend that they've been going in. You know, if you go back and you look at how we did game two versus game one, you know, I feel like we've got to come back win against them tonight. You know, I mean, we lost, even though, yes, we lost 5-4, we were getting our butts whooped, and Pavelski's the only one that really kind of helped us win that game. And we came back and we won game 2-4-2. So, you know, I think we got our butt spanked. And unfortunately, Pavelski couldn't pull his five goals out or his four goals out of his butt in the last game. So I think tonight we mount a little bit of a comeback.
Be interesting to see if you're right, because I think they need to pull something out of their butts again, and that being their head this time.
Definitely. Plus, it's going to be on our home ice, so hopefully that kind of, even though I know we've been better on the road, but hopefully that kind of maybe helps.
I hope it helps. They need all the help they can get.
For sure.
Ugh, I'm scared, man. And
we'll find out tonight at 8:30 when the puck drops. But like I said, that's my prediction. I think the Stars come back and win tonight, and I'm gonna say 4-2. I'm gonna say tonight's another 4-2 game.
Right on. I get it though, because close game beating. That's sort of a closer game than the beating was.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, hey man, thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, sir. We'll do it again next week. Hopefully, I won't have too much going on like this week, so I can actually give you a full hour.
Hey man, anytime I can get with you is an honor. I'll say that.
Yes, sir. All right, well, go Stars.
Go Stars. And guys, thank you for listening. This is JJ. K-Fitz had to go. It's a little bit of a shorter episode for that. I apologize, but there's not much else you can say. You know, hey, this is JJ. This has been the Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast. It's been a Lone Star Barn Burner of a series. I didn't want to go there, but I did. It's been a barn burner of a series for sure. You don't know what team you're going to get with Dallas. You know Seattle's going to just continue to pressure them. It's going to be good. Once again, I apologize for the shorter episode, but there wasn't much to say anyway. We'll catch you again probably Thursday or at some point between the next couple of games if they're still playing by Friday. So thank you for listening. Thank you to the awesome people of BS3 Network for giving us a shot on this show. And I'm out till the next show. Thanks for listening. Bye.